Blog Talk Radio.
With Angela Butler. You all are in for a treat tonight. The guest interview is with Ronald L. Allen. He is the author of The Evolution of Bidwist. So those of you who don't know about the game or who already know about it, tune in. All right, how are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing fine, and I'm excited about being with you and your audience this afternoon.
Okay, I'm excited about having you on this show. I've never heard of Bidwist, so this is new to me too. Just like it may be just some people listening.
Okay, well that's not unusual. I did a survey about 3 years ago, but it said that 76% of African Americans in the United States are familiar with the game and have played it with their family or friends at some time. So you're just in that 24%. Don't feel bad about that.
I'm the oddball. I'm in that 24% oddball. So Bidwist, it's a card game, am I correct?
Bidwist is a card game. It's very similar to the game of bridge and spades.
Okay.
It's played with four players, divided into two teams, two players each, and it uses a standard playing card deck with the two jokers, big joker and the little joker, and the object of the game is for the one team to win, and you can win either by going out the front door, and when we say front door, that means achieving a positive score or 7 or better. Or you can lose by going out the back door, and that's when you get set or accumulate negative points of 7 or more.
Okay. Now, everyone, I'd like to go ahead and say this, and I meant to say it in the introduction. Mr. Allen has, well, Ron, as he told me to call him, has a website, and it's www.ronald, R-O-N-A-L-D, Allen, A-L-L-E-N.com.
Ronald L. Allen.
Yes, Ronald L. Allen, R-O-N-A-L-D-L, Allen, A-L-L-E-N.com. So that's his website. You can go out and check it out. So, Mr. Allen.
Yes, ma'am.
How long has the game Bidwist been a part of the American community, Black American community? I mean, when did it start?
Well, that's an excellent question, and that's one of the reasons why I was motivated to write a book on Bidwist. There have been other books out there, and the authors have done some great jobs on telling you about how to play the game. But I wanted to know more about the game. When did it start? Who invented it? All of the whole nine yards. I wanted to learn all of those things. So I began maybe about 10 or 15 years ago to begin to accumulate all the documents that I possibly could, trying to discover who invented the game and how it came to be. So when you say, when did it start, Because of the documents that have been printed and captured, you know, they didn't capture a lot of information on blacks during those times. But the only thing that we can do is nail it down. We know that it started between the years of 1862 and 1868. So we can say that Bidwith started within those 6 years. And we know that it was discovered or created by black people who were either slaves at the time or ex-slaves. So it's our game. It belongs to the black community. It's a heritage that has been in our community for at least 150 years. And that's why I'm so dedicated and devoted to sharing the information with the African-American public.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking at your website, the ones I just got to tell the listeners about. It does say it's been around, well, it's evolved and continued to grow from slavery into the 21st century. You also
talk about
President Abraham Lincoln, and you say that, I'm going to read exactly what it says, it covers the Gaines evolutionary path from Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slave, to the first African-American president, Barack Obama. So that's very interesting. I've heard of the other two games that you talked about and even played them some. But I never called by this name. And was it popular in the South? Because I'm in the South. I have family in Mississippi and Alabama and South Carolina and North Carolina.
It is very popular in the South, and you just mentioned the state of South Carolina, and let me just start there, because in my research in trying to get information, there's so much that we don't know about Black history because it hasn't been written down, and you know it's just been shared with us by general stories given by our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and a lot of diary information. But going back to South Carolina, in the city of Charleston, South Carolina, there is a African-American whist club. It's called the Owls, O-W-L-S. And this club, I was astonished to find out that they started in the year 1914. Last year, they celebrated their 100th year anniversary, and I thought that was just amazing to know that we had a group of black people who had carried on a tradition for that long, and they weren't trying to get to 10,000 members. They still only had 40 members because they started the game with 12 members because they just liked to have fun. So going back to the significance, at the time, just before we were being freed as black people, this game, like I said, within that six-year period, was created and began to be played in the South, many places, mostly in Georgia and North Carolina, which were places that housed the most slaves, I believe, at that time. But these were the two states that we know that it was played in. So this game has consistently gone on for 150 years all the way. It's still here with us when we have our first African-American president. And I thought that was astounding. Because you look at all the things that have continuously existed in our community and anywhere in the United States, there's not a lot of things that can say that they've been around for 150 years. So that's something that we should be proud of.
Yes, it is. So you mentioned President Barack Obama. Does he know about this game? Do you know?
I've been looking and trying to find references, and I haven't had anything specific, but, you know, there are many newspaper articles out there that says when the Obama family goes to Hawaii for their vacation, there are newspaper articles that say that his favorite hotel, they have to set up Bidwist tables for the family to enjoy the game. See, with the game, we know that it was promoted, the first ambassadors of the game were the Pullman Porters of the railroad. And Mr. Obama was in Illinois commemorating a historical landmark, a national park of the Pullman area. And he happened to mention during his speech that Michelle Obama was, I believe, the great-great-granddaughter of a Pullman Porter. So right away, now I began to make the connection. So that's what I've been doing, is trying to connect the dots.
Okay.
So we found a bunch of our elected officials play bid whist. As a matter of fact, one interesting thing is that members of our congressional Black caucus in Washington D.C. they have an annual bid whist tournament that they conduct every year there in the city of D.C. and this has been going on for many, many years.
Oh, okay. Right, so.
We didn't have it in the Senate because that was a mostly white institution, but we find and I found with great documentation that there was a senator, Carol Moseley Braun, who was the first African American female elected to the Senate from the state of Illinois, and she was an avid bid whist player. So she introduced the game to everyone in the House of the Senate who would like to play the game. So she was the first one to take it to the Senate. But within the House of Representatives, we have many, many players, many, many legislators that enjoy the game.
All right. So I'd like to know, what are the myths about being with? What are some errors, things that aren't correct that people may think is right about being with, but it's erroneous?
Some of the things, first of all, and one thing that I took great objection to is that I found in the last few years there were insinuations that the game was invented by white people. And I knew that that was not true, and there was one card company that had it on their website that it was invented by this Englishman named, I won't even mention his name. But I wrote to them and I talked to them on the phone and I explained to them the erroneousness of their statement, because this gentleman was only born in 1891. So we know bid whist was being played before 1891. I said that was one reason. Number two, he was an Englishman that never visited the United States. So how did he get the game here? And one of the last things I share with them is that he was a great bridge player. We could see that because he wrote 70 books about the game of bridge. And I'm saying, wouldn't it be considered very unusual if this guy played bridge, which he didn't invent, but now he invented a new game, and he did not write even one book about that? So I just tried to establish profiles as I was gathering my information so that I could, you know, document and refute. And I always welcome any of them to respond to me with any different information or contradictory information, and I would be happy to weigh that in. But usually as I was going through this, most people did not respond. That I believe they saw the validity of what I was offering to them. And in this case, this card manufacturer, they took that information off their website. So I was happy about that. And we move on.
Okay. All right. So so this is an international game, bid whist.
It's not just
in the United States.
It's not just in the United States. In my book, I mentioned to you a little earlier that the Pullman Porters were the ambassadors of the game. So in 1867, when the job of Pullman Porters was opened up, and many blacks in the South, mostly again from Georgia and North Carolina, because this is where the Pullman Porters, Pullman Company was recruiting, they hired ex-slaves out of these two states to be their first Pullman porters. And these porters, the job gave them the opportunity to be mobile. You know, they could go from state to state and didn't have to pay. They could go free and at any time. So now they could travel in an inexpensive manner. So they began to take their favorite games, their favorite things, hobbies, and they began to pass him on to states Michigan and Illinois and Indiana and New York. So the Pullman Porters were considered to be the ambassadors of the game, because as they stopped in the different towns and they lived in the boarding houses, there were many books and diaries that talked about the Pullman porters staying for a week or weekend at their particular boarding house or meeting somewhere downtown and them sharing the game. So they were the first vanguard of taking Bedouins from the South and bringing it northward. Now, we spoke about the game, was it a black game, white game in the South or in the North? When the game was first invented in the South, the white community, they ridiculed the game.
Okay.
They said, okay, these blacks folks got this dumb game and blah, 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 and don't pay any attention to it. And the white community called the game Black Bridge.
Black Bridge, okay.
So it was known as Black Bridge, and they continued to ridicule it. And, you know, so it was unknown, but the black people enjoyed it, and they continued to play it. And it wasn't into the 1900s where the white people began to realize that, hey, this game has some merit, and there are a lot of people playing it. And so they began to call it Bedouins. And so it's progressed on all through our wars, our black soldiers, as they went to war in foreign lands. When they had an opportunity to relax, then they would play the game of Bedouins, and they took it to other countries. But one of the biggest reason for the game being played internationally now is online computer games.
Online computer games. Okay.
Yeah, you can go into four or five
sites. Do you play
sites.
With money?
I do not. I have played with money in the past, but I do not play with money.
You can play with money.
And I think that's one thing that I should stress is that there are a lot of people that relate the use of money as gambling, and they frown upon it. And I can understand, and I'm not in disagreement with them, but I submit to you and your listeners that people gamble on anything. They gamble on basketball, on baseball, anything, horse racing, whatever, anything that they can take a chance on. I bet you $5 you can't do this. So I would hope that the people in your audience would be wise enough to say that Bedouins should not be put down because certain people in our community use it as a source of gambling. Because the game itself is a very wholesome, it's a family game. Yeah, and in my book, let me share with you and your listeners, one of the other reasons why I wanted to write this book is because it had such a great impact on my life. If it had not been for the game of Bedouins, you and I and your listeners may not be having this conversation today. See, when I was about 14 or 15, I lived on the west side of Chicago, and at that time, it was the upstart of the gangs in Chicago. The gangs were becoming big and they were growing and more gangs were being, and everybody was recruiting. So if you went outside and you were not a member of the gang, you were prey to another gang jumping on you. So there was a lady that lived about four blocks from my house, Mrs. Emma Prince, and I dedicated my book to her. But she had two young daughters about my age. And her solution to providing a safe environment for the young people in the neighborhood was to say, hey, all of you young men and young women, you come over to my house, and we'll sit down and we'll have some Coke and some sandwiches, and we will play Bedouins. And that's how I began to learn the game. So we'd be at Mrs. Prince's house. We would be safe. We build up relationships and friendships and bonds that still last to the day.
Oh, wow, okay. So you're retired from the Allen Insurance Agency in Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, that's correct. I've been retired now about 6 or 7 years, and that gave me more opportunity to take all these notes and all these papers and pictures and diary information and try to share with the black community. I wanted to get this out, and the book came out in December of last year, and it was received a very warm response all across the nation. And now I've been trying to speak to legislators across the country, public officials and state officials, and I believe, and I hope your listeners will share my enthusiasm, I believe that this game that's 150 years old needs to have some type of public commemoration. I'm not saying that we should have a national bid whist day, but the community needs to recognize, hey, here's something for 150 years that we need to recognize.
Yes, you're right. You're right, sir. So I'm going to talk a little bit about you. So you're a former school teacher, am I right?
I'm a former high school teacher. I taught business education subjects in the public high schools of Chicago. Yes, ma'am.
And you had an all-state insurance agency that was called the A. Allen Insurance Agency, Ltd. of Chicago, Illinois. I believe I already said that. And you've been a lifetime member of the NAACP DuPage County branch.
Correct, right? Got to be a member.
Just telling the listeners something about you.
And I've also devoted a number, in my latter years, I've devoted a lot of time to nonprofit organizations that help the community. Because I was in the insurance field, then I spent a lot of my time with the National African American Insurance Association. I've been with them for about the last 12 years. I served 2 years as their chairman. And that gave me the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. when we would go to Washington, D.C. to speak with our congressmen about the black community and the issues. Then I was in Washington, D.C., and when I had free time, I would go over to the Library of Congress, and I'd take out all the books they had on bid whist, and I'd sit down and take my notes and take pictures. And so that was one of the ways that I captured this information on bid whist.
Okay. All right. That's very interesting. I also read that you were a former co-host of the Financial Forum radio show broadcast on WVON 690 AM Chicago.
that was a very warm moment for me. You know, well, I told you I was in the insurance industry. And just like with my book, it's always been an important thing to me, and that's why I went into education, is because to be able to share new thoughts, ideas, and good information, correct information with my community. Everybody says a lot of things, but a lot of the things that you see out there are not true. So doing the thing on the Financial Forum and at WVON was exciting because I could sit and I could talk with the black community about the things that they had been hearing, about the financial problems that might affect them, life insurance, car insurance, and I tried to talk about the real deal. So it became kind of touchy because at that time, being an employee of a major insurance company, they were very leery, and they didn't want me to say the wrong thing. But if the wrong thing needed to be said, then I wanted to say the wrong thing. You know, if there was something that the insurance companies were not sharing, then that information I wanted to share with my community. I felt that was my personal obligation, and I made it my commitment to do so.
Okay. All right. So you played bid whist, of course, and I'm looking forward to having the book, too.
Okay, and I'm going to, you know, if you will email me your address, I will make sure that you get a personal autograph book from Ronald L. Allen.
That would be nice.
That would be my pleasure to do that.
I usually read the books before I get them. People, I know you're listening, but I was so interested in this too. It would take too long for the book to get here, so I went ahead and put him on the show, Mr. Allen, on the show. Anyone who's told me to call him Ron. I'm really enjoying this because I'm going to call. I have my mom call the people, my relatives, my great aunt in Mississippi, and ask her, "Has she ever heard of bid whist?" And I'm going to ask my mom too. Have you ever heard of bid whist?
Well, see, now that's I'm glad. I may have had the opportunity to speak to some of your relatives because in capturing this information, as I said, it wasn't captured in printed form in newspapers. So a lot of times I had to speak to people, our older seniors, and I'm speaking to people 100 years and older than that, and those who were still mentally alert and that could converse, they shared many stories with me and gave me information,
okay.
and some of them even let me go into their diaries, and I greatly appreciate that.
Yes, yes, yes. Like I said, I'm going to ask them because if they know about it, nobody told me. I'm not the best at games because I don't like to lose, but...
Let me say, you know, I feel that I'm a very competent bid whist player. I've won a number of tournaments, and I've been playing for many, many, many years.
Yes.
But I'm sure that there are other people out there probably with you in the studio or within your family that are equally as good as playing bid whist. But my point that I tell everybody, I'm not going to claim to be the king of bid whist. What I try to do with my book, and I do give you strategies and tips and explain how to play the game, but the main focus in my book was trying to give our black community the documentation and the history of the path that the bid whist followed and explain to them how it came to be, how it was such a great part of our black heritage. See, when we came north, black folks brought, I would say, the three most important things that they brought with them. When they went north, they brought the art of soul food cooking, which still exists today, and
yeah.
they brought with them quilt making and the game of bid whist. And let me just, when we talk
all
about quilt making, and a lot of our younger generation, some of us know what a quilt is, but we don't realize the importance that it was in the African-American forage to the north. Because when the slaves were escaping from the South, those few that did, you know, have the strength, fortitude, and commitment to try to make it to the North, sometimes they got lost. They had slave hunters that were searching for them. Quilt making was very important for us because the slaves along the way would wash their quilts, put them on the clothesline, and within the quilt they had different signs and signals. Don't go this way, go that way. The slave hunters are here. So as the slave was escaping to the north, he could see quilts and get information that saved his life and gave him directions. And so that in itself is a very important part of our history.
Yes, yes it is. Yes it is. That's very important. And again, people that are listening, Mr. Ronald L. Allen book is on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. I hope I said this right, The Evolution of Bid Whist.
Evolution of Bid Whist. 150
yes.
years in the tradition of an African American, 150 years in the growth of an African American tradition. And
oh, okay.
your listeners can also go to, yes, it's available on Noodle and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but I encourage them to go to my website and make a purchase there because my website is the only place where you can get a personally autographed book. If they buy it through my website, I sign them personally, address it to them, and I ship it out to their home.
Okay. Well, all right then. That's great. I just got a couple of more things. So you did live in Chicago, Illinois. That's where Miss Oprah Winfrey is, and President Obama had a home there.
That's right. They certainly
have
do.
Have you ever?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Did you ever meet either one of them?
I have not met Oprah. I know Stedman Graham quite well.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. Obama, oddly enough, I shared a story of he and I shared an elevator one day before he became president. I was within 2 feet of him on the elevator, never knew, well, I knew that he was a very special person, but I'm happy to see that he has progressed to the status that he did.
Yes, that's great, but they don't give him credit for anything good in the media, and that is wrong. The very seldom.
I agree.
Some of them
Amen.
Are worse than others.
Amen. But I believe that
because President Obama did everything he said he was going to. Go ahead,
said
sir.
Said everything and that they said he couldn't do. So all of the things that they said, oh, this is not happening, we're seeing that all of that was a lie, and the unemployment rate is going down, the price of gas
yes,
is going
is.
Down. All the and the greatest thing that he did is that no other president was able to give us national health care. And I know that the history books in years to pass, 50 years from now, his name will be down there with Abraham and John F. Kennedy and all the great ones.
Yes, yes, sir. Okay. Well, listeners, don't forget to buy the book. And I was going to say some things about where he would be at the 15th of May, but I don't have a whole lot of time, so.
Okay, they can follow my website, and I'll be posting things, and
I believe he has on here May 13, 2015, his website, the upcoming events. He'll be at the, be doing a book signing.
Yeah, I'll be doing a book signing.
The Anderson Bookstore.
And check my website, because we're doing a very special thing for Juneteenth, a very special day in African-American history, and we're going to have a great Bidwist tournament on that day, so check my website for further information.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela
Butler. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank your listeners for spending some time with us, and I hope that I've shared some good information with everyone.
Yes, Mr. Allen, you have, and thank you. You're welcome to come back on the show anytime.
Thank you so much. You enjoy your day.
Yes, sir, you too.